Hi guys, and welcome back to the Wealth and Wellness Studio, your go-to resource to get hotter, happier, wealthier, and build your dream life. The Wealth and Wellness Studio is truly designed to help you build a life filled with purpose, health, and abundance. I'm Natalia, I'm the host, and every week I'm here to help share insights on wellness, financial freedom, and living with intention, as well as providing you with the resources that you need to build your dream life. This week, we're interviewing Ava. She is a founder of a women's wellness brand, and we're going to be talking all things cycle tea, which if you haven't heard of tea cycling, you're going to learn a lot about it and a lot about your hormones. Guys, I think there's so much that we don't understand about even like pregnancy or like our ability to get pregnant and birth control and hormones and so many women are dealing with like painful periods, painful cycles, hormonal acne, and feel like they're completely alone in this. So enjoy the episode. We're filming it in the warehouse where they make all their tea. It's super inspiring how Ava and her husband, Braden, built the brand from scratch, from Ava just going on her own journey of healing her own hormones by cycling herbal teas through each phase of her cycle and getting off of birth control, healing hormonal acne, getting rid of period pain. And then now she's helped thousands of women do it. And now she's helped thousands of women do it too. Just an incredible human being and an amazing friend. I'm so excited for you guys to listen to this. So ladies, enjoy the episode. I just know there's going to be ASMR noises Well, Ava, thank you so much for coming on the podcast.
I'm so excited.
I know, I'm so excited, especially since this is like one of our first episodes of season two. I have been drinking cycle tea for like 2 months and I am in love with it.
Oh, yes.
It's like become such a like staple part of my routine now that I'm like, I can't go to bed without like drinking my cycle tea.
Oh my gosh, me too. But that makes me so happy. Well, thank you for having me. I'm so excited.
Okay, so what are you drinking right now?
I am drinking Nourish for my follicular phase. I'm on day 10 of my cycle, so feeling good, and that's what I'm drinking. What are you drinking?
I'm on day 18 of my cycle, and it's so funny because – and I know we're going to talk about this later, but I used to have no idea what day of my cycle I was on.
100%.
So the fact that now like every single day, like I feel so much more in tune with my body and like aware of my body and like my painful periods are like so much less than they used to be. And like such a side tangent. I like, I'm already getting into it.
I know. No, but it is so crazy of how like I went like from my very first period when I was like 13 or whatever until I was 23 years old, having no idea where I was.
Right.
And now I cannot wake up without thinking about where I am in my cycle and like how that affects how I'm going to feel.
Well, and it's
everything
because it literally affects like every single part of your life and your mood. And like, I feel like there's so many stereotypes around like being crazy right before your period and like all of these stuff. And I honestly, there was a point in time, this is going to be so funny, but like there's a point in time where I thought I was like bipolar.
Oh my God.
Not actually,
no,
but like,
but yeah.
I was just like, why am I crazy a couple of days out of the month? And
totally.
I just didn't understand that it was my hormones being out of whack.
I literally remember being like 15 years old in the locker room before basketball practice, crying like for no reason, just crying uncontrollably, and then my period coming the next day and being like, oh, like,
but if
I wonder,
you don't know, you feel crazy,
you feel like the world is ending,
especially if you don't have like sisters or like or maybe because every girl cycle is a little bit different, like, but let's say like your mom didn't really experience like a lot of mood swings, then you do, and then you're like, hold on, it's something wrong with me, like, because obviously your male friends are like kind of stable.
There's just so many mysteries that aren't actually mysteries. They're only mysteries because we weren't taught about them. And
100%.
So I'm really excited to talk about it. And I love talking about this with literally any woman that will want to talk about
like
it.
Anyone who wants to listen, like,
I know. Like, let's talk.
Like, do you want to talk about your cycle?
Yeah.
So anyway, I'm drinking the luteal phase one, right?
Because
I'm on day 18. So, okay. For people listening who don't know, how long is an average cycle? Which there's a lot of women who like, I didn't know this a couple years ago. So if you're listening at any stage of like your cycle, maybe you're like a huge cycle syncer,
right?
Or like you don't know anything about cycle syncing,
right?
Like we're going to hit it all.
Yes.
So we're going to start basic and then dive deep.
Yeah.
But like, how long is a typical cycle?
Yeah. So when we say like, how long is a typical cycle? Cause this is a question I actually realize a lot of women, I'll say like, hey, how long is your cycle? And they'll be like, oh, 5 days.
Yep.
And they think I'm talking about just their period. But when we say cycle, what we're referring to is from the first day of your period into the last day before your next period.
Yeah.
That's an entire like menstrual cycle. Now there's the menstrual phase, which everyone obviously knows about. Like you learn about your period. But the average cycle for women actually varies quite a bit. It's usually between 26 and 32 days is considered average and normal, though some women will go longer. And I have a really consistent cycle. I've really worked hard for that and like worked on stress and like lots of other things. But I used to have pretty inconsistent cycles. I've had cycles as long as like 99 days.
Yeah.
Like when you don't ovulate for a long time. But there are ways to know why that's happening. And there are ways to know when your period's coming even still, which is amazing.
I feel like for so long, I had so many misconceptions about periods, but I would be like, oh, it's just like a cycle toss. Like there's nothing I can do about it.
Right.
Because I just didn't understand hormones. But basically like lifestyle impacts our hormones. This is very obvious, but like our lifestyle impacts our hormones, which impacts our cycles.
Right.
So like if you have any, I think the way I've heard it described, which has been so new to me, but like for women, our cycle is like a report card.
Exactly. Yeah. I love that saying. It's so true. And I feel like a lot of women will treat their body poorly, not be nourishing their bodies, be under chronic
stress. And unintentionally a lot of times.
Totally. It's, I mean, the world is created to not cater. Like you have to fight against the world to have a healthy cycle, in my opinion. You have to be actively working.
Explain some of that, of like when you're saying like the world is like not made for a woman's cycle. What
right.
do you mean?
Yes. And I think it's so funny because I've said this before, like on TikTok, and I feel like some men have been like, oh my God, feminists like want
you're
the
like,
world.
I'm actually not feminist.
I know. And I'm like, actually, that's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying that like the world naturally has like complete hustle culture. Mm-hmm. The world also naturally is on a day-to-day cycle in terms of like a 9-to-5 schedule, for example, in the work day, you're expected to produce the same amount of work all month long.
No matter what day of the month it is.
Exactly. Like no matter. And I'm not even saying that's bad. Like obviously that's what you need to do. Like I'm not saying we're going to change
how society works,
the workplace. But right. But if you're in a place like thinking of tasks that you can do, you can kind of front load your workload. So even if your work isn't something you can change, but you can move around like the chores that you really don't like or your workouts, like your stress-inducing workouts.
Yeah.
Whatever you can do to be moving the more challenging days on times when your hormones are in a place to support that.
Yep.
There are even weeks, which we're kind of in the weeds now, but there are even weeks when your body needs to eat more.
Yep.
And so if you can know those things, you can know you need to sleep more.
Support your body better so you can function and like complete all the tasks that you need. Let's talk about the phases and their stereotypes.
Yeah.
Brief overview. So we talked about the length of the cycle and then what is each phase of the cycle? And then,
Yeah. So the first phase that I kind of, like I said, everybody knows about your period. So that's the menstrual phase. That is the first day that you bleed all the way to the last day.
Which most
bleed.
People think that's what their cycle is.
Yes.
Yeah.
And that is actually just a product of you ovulating. So even though it's day one of your cycle, it's actually not even like the main action that's going on in your cycle, but a lot of women don't know that.
Wait, so just to clear things up, you said your period, because I think a lot of people think it's the end of your cycle.
Yes.
Why is it the beginning?
It is. So basically your period only comes after you've ovulated, essentially on a typical healthy cycle.
Yep.
So what happens is your body ovulates. So your body releases an egg, basically ready to get pregnant. And if that egg doesn't get fertilized, then your body will shed the egg. And that's what's going on when you have your period. So if you haven't had your period for, let's say, 3 months, I hear the story a lot. Like a girl's like, hey, like I haven't had my period in 2 or 3 months. You know, where's my period? Why is my period missing?
Mm-hmm.
What's not missing is your period. What's missing is your body's ovulation. And so that can come, and we're jumping into ovulation now, but that can come because of stress. Because if your body doesn't feel like it is in a safe place to essentially get pregnant, it's not going to ovulate. So your body's going to hold onto the egg. So I also know some women that are like, oh, what can I do to get my period tomorrow? Like I need my period to come tomorrow. And I'm like, well, you can't do anything today that's going to make you bleed tomorrow.
Right.
You can only do things that are going to help you ovulate and then your period will come.
Yep.
So that's phase one. Menstrual phase. I feel like this does get a bad rep. In my experience, I don't know about your experience, I feel like the hardest days for me are actually like the last 2 days of my luteal phase right before my period comes.
No, me too. The period's almost like a relief because I'm like, okay, wait, I wasn't crazy.
Yes,
like,
exactly.
Yeah.
And I'm starting to feel better. Like by day 3 of my period, like, yeah, it can be inconvenient, I guess, but like I'm starting to feel good. Bloating is like gone down. Yep. I don't really get cramps anymore. So
did you
like
get cramps before?
I did. I used to have really bad cramps. So that kind of made me dislike my period.
I feel like if I get cramps now, they're only on like day 1 or 2. And like by day 2, 3, 4, like, I'm getting my energy back. Like I'm coming out of hibernation.
Right.
Like, I
yes,
feel good.
Exactly. Yeah. And I think there's something to be said about that too. Like as we learn how to lean into the different phases of your cycle, there are times that you want to be less extroverted. You don't want to be going out as much. You want to be home. You want to be
cozy.
Exactly.
Well, and I've heard, each like phase of your cycle can be like a metaphor for like a different season.
Yes.
So like isn't menstruation like winter?
It's your winter. Right? Exactly.
Which I feel like just like seasons in life, it's mm-hmm. like there's actually beauty to all of it. Mm-hmm. And I also used to like, I used to hate my period so much. And now I'm like, I honestly, I'm like, this is a great time for me to journal. This is a great time for yeah. me to catch up on like my favorite TV show or like take time like alone that I normally wouldn't, or just like right. cozy up at home. And like there's beauty in that too.
Yep. Yeah. We're so okay. cyclical in nature as humans. And so I think it's actually really cool that our bodies model that.
Yeah.
And if we lean into it instead of like stifling it, we can actually get way more out of it. Like if you're 100%. Trying to force your body to do things it doesn't want to do, of course you hate it.
Yeah. Well, and yeah. And also I just think it's so cool that this has become like a normalized conversation mm-hmm. because I remember when I first got my period and like, I don't know what your experience was like, but for me, I was like, oh, like it's so embarrassing. Or like, you don't want like the boys in your class to like find out you have a tampon in your bag or like whatever. It's just like, it's like embarrassing. And then to turn it into something where it's like, oh, actually like this is like you celebrate the different times of your month and you're like looking forward to it. And it stops being like this like annoying, like, oh, I can't believe I'm on my period. Like I can't do this. I can't do that. And like turning it into something beautiful.
Yep.
Like this is actually like, there's no reason for us to like hate our bodies or hate our cycles or hate our hormones. Like we were designed like this for a reason.
Exactly.
It's actually really beautiful.
Yeah. And we don't, you don't have to be like, I feel like I didn't used to relate to the girls that always wanted to like talk about their periods. I know that sounds funny, but like, yeah. I was like,
you're like, I started an entire company
yeah,
on tea cycling,
but like, I hate talking about periods.
I hate talking. Yeah.
But I think it's more yeah. of like, I didn't like when people would try to do it to like make people uncomfortable. Like I don't think it can yeah. be a private, like female, beautiful experience, but
I'm not like walking around with a sign.
No,
like,
exactly. Yeah. But we still like appreciate it and we're like, we understand. Even if I have a friend who's like, oh yeah, this is where I'm at in my cycle, I'm like, I understand you. Like it's like a
nice
point of connection. Yeah, totally.
My boyfriend Preston always like takes, now he now that I've learned a lot about my cycle, like he's super aware of my cycle.
Yeah.
And it's really nice because he's like, okay, I know this week like I need to not stress you out
because
yeah. like your stress tolerance is like so much lower. So I feel like it's like super, it can actually be really helpful. And like, or even yeah. like what you're saying, like if you know a friend is like in their ovulation phase, you're like, oh, like I know what I'm going to plan around this.
Yeah.
Which, yeah. It's not like a necessary, but it's like fun.
No, exactly. It's cool.
So,
but yeah, so anyways, that's the first winter. Phase. The second phase. So after the first day, after you stop bleeding, you enter what's called your follicular phase. Technically your follicular phase actually includes your period, because it's just referring to the follicle starting to develop, but because your period is bleeding and it has like a whole different set of challenges that come with it, we do group it that way for purposes of cycle syncing. So follicular phase, it's usually about like day 6 to day 12. And this is when the follicle is starting to develop and your body is preparing to ovulate. So fun fact, actually, your follicular phase is the only phase that's ever going to really elongate. So if you typically have a 28-day cycle and then 1 month, something goes on, like you travel,
yep.
Something crazy happens. I actually was reading a book and this woman, there was an earthquake at her house in the middle of the night and her cycle was late. And this doctor was like, oh, well, like what day of your cycle was the earthquake? And the earthquake happened to be during her follicular phase and that pushed off her ovulation. And
because
that
her body didn't feel safe.
Exactly.
To produce fats.
Or like car yeah. accidents, that can happen. Like if you have one major traumatic experience, that can be enough to make your follicular phase elongate. But wow. typically it's going to be about days six through 12 and your body, you're starting to feel good. You're starting to feel better. Your body's preparing to ovulate,
yeah.
preparing to get pregnant potentially.
Yeah. And that's true for like work stress and like high stress events in your life in general. So basically, are you saying like, if I want to have a more regular cycle, I might want to like watch my stress during that time.
Yep, exactly.
Yeah.
And it's really important to think about like sleeping, managing stress, mm-hmm. eating enough, also over-exercising. That can 100%. Be something women start to feel really good. And so then they will – when I was actually training for a half marathon,
yeah.
I lost my period because mm-hmm. I wasn't eating enough and I was just like doing a lot of cardio. And that wasn't even like that for some women, that wouldn't be a crazy amount of cardio, but the way that I was doing it was
totally.
Putting stress on my body and I lost my cycle.
Well, it goes back to what you were talking about. Like your body, I think this has been like – revolutionary for me in understanding my cycle. But again, exactly what you said, like your body needs to feel safe in order to ovulate. And something I want to touch on really quickly is and we're going to get into this later, but women who are like, well, I don't want to get pregnant.
Mm.
It's like your ovulation is actually still very important.
Yeah.
Because like it's a sign of health
exactly.
for your entire body, mm-hmm. like your entire, like your endocrine system. Like you need to have, just like you need like a healthy cardiovascular system and you need a healthy lymphatic system. Like you need a healthy endocrine system, like
right.
just so that your body is like functioning properly and it doesn't lead to like disease down the line.
Yep, yeah. Exactly. It's a sign that your body's functioning. I say that too all the time. I'm like, even if you don't want kids ever, not even just right now,
you
but
still
ever,
want your hormones to work right. well.
And if you do want kids, even if it's like not for 10 years or not for 5 years, it's still really cool to know that your body is going to be capable of that, because if you're paying attention, then you're able to pinpoint maybe issues that you could have and fix them before you're trying to get pregnant.
Yeah. And I'm going to include I'm going to go on a side tangent really quickly, which I feel like I'm really good at, but I'm like, are we ever going to finish a point? But with, you know, just talking about kids really quickly, I feel like it's something that I feel like the desire for like family and kids is something that like we've like strayed so far away from as a society, which I think is really sad, because although like I respect everyone's decisions, and like obviously you have to do what's the best for like you, your life, your family. But like I think there's actually a lot of beauty and value to having kids and like motherhood and like family and all of that. And it's like you might be in a phase of your life where you're like, oh, I never want to do that. But in reality, like I believe that there's nothing more meaningful than like bringing like life into the world.
Yeah.
And also this is like a totally controversial take, but some people are like, well, I don't want to bring kids into the world because this world sucks and there's so much evil in it and et cetera, et cetera. And I'm like, dude, if we don't repopulate the planet, like someone's going to be doing
Someone's doing it.
And like, I feel like the only way you can fix the world is like, it starts with the family.
Yeah.
Like it starts with like your closest, like your family, like the legacy that you leave on this planet, and then like creating more good humans that in turn do good in the world. Like otherwise, what are we going to do? Like we're going to destroy the planet because we're not repopulating and like other people are.
Right.
That's just like my opinion. But
no, I feel the same way. And there are so many women I've also talked to who were like, oh yeah, like I never wanted kids in my 20s. And then I turned like 30 and I like wanted them. Well, and I never thought that I did.
And then infertility. Like, so first of all, I think there's so many, like we're not going to get super into this, but there's so many things that impact our hormones. Like so many endocrine disruptors in our makeup, in our candles, in our like –
laundry detergent, cleaning products, everything.
In the way that we live our lifestyles, like talking about stress and stuff that's like delaying our ovulation. And then it's like, okay, well, one day you wake up in your 30s and you're like, I want to get pregnant. And now all of a sudden we're dealing with infertility because we didn't take care of our hormones for 10 years. We were using tanning beds. We were like doing all the stuff.
Right.
So it's like better take care of your body earlier than later and then be dealing with the repercussions of that for like forever.
But, and I do really feel like women are waking up to that. Like it's crazy the amount of women that are learning about it now instead of just like pushing it off, which
and
is so crazy.
Also, like if you didn't know, it's not your fault.
Yeah,
like it's totally. There's truly not a lot of education on this. And so that's one thing I absolutely love about your company is like, it's giving like education and awareness to people about our own bodies in a way that like, why are we not taught this in like sex ed in school? Or why are we not taught this that like, even in our own families? And a lot of it is like, people just don't know. You can't teach what you don't know. So anyway, back to ovulation.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. Yep. So then we're on to ovulation. So ovulation actually, so for like the tea company and for cycle syncing, it gets grouped as a phase, referring to like a period of days. Mm-hmm. Technically ovulation kind of happens in an instance, like in an instant. The only way you could actually see it would be under an ultrasound, which is really cool. You can actually see. Yeah. I have a friend who's an ultrasound tech and she's like, if I knew when it was, I could literally see the moment that my body releases an egg, which is cool. But basically ovulation is, it's when your body's releasing an egg. And so ovulation, I feel like, especially on like TikTok, has gotten a reputation for being like, it's when I'm feeling spicy. Yeah. It's when I'm feeling hot. It's when I'm feeling all these things. And if you think about that from like a creation and like population standpoint, it
you're
makes
trying
sense.
To reproduce.
Like, it's literally your body's fertile. Like we're created to get pregnant.
Yep.
Do with that way what you will. But so basically it's your body like getting ready for that. So women will be like, I have the best skin. Mm-hmm. Like I'm feeling, you know, spicy. I have energy. Mm-hmm. I'm feeling flirtatious, whatever. On the flip side though, and something I think not everyone talks about is it can actually be kind of a time of anxiety for women because you're experiencing a lot of like changes your body is hormonally. And then also ovulation pain is way more common than people think. I get light ovulation pain. Like I can kind of just feel which side.
That's amazing.
Yes.
I recently have been getting some like light ovulation cramps. And also, have you heard of like ovulation bleeding? Like sometimes you can bleed lightly. Yeah.
And that is more common than people think. And so I always just like to talk about that too, because
always you think something's wrong with you.
You're yes, like, exactly.
I'm I like, just got my period. It's like actually not your period. It's
But yep. Okay. So ovulation.
Oh, okay. So this is a really good time to guys ask for a raise, or if you're getting to know somebody, like go on a date. Mm-hmm. Like this is a, like your body, your your brain chemistry, everything is literally like wired to be like attracting people at that moment. So this is like a really good time. Like, it's not like you have to do it. It's not like you can't ask for a raise during like your menstrual phase, but like if you're trying to have like your highest chances of like showing up confident, like do your job interviews at this time, like ask for a raise, like do those big like social events and record your podcast, like do all of those things like during that time, if you can, obviously like we still have to live, but yeah.
I have a friend who works for this really awesome female owned company in Santa Barbara. And she told me that the CEO or the owner strategically plans all of her meetings to be in that window.
I love that.
And I'm like,
that.
How cool is that to have your own business and be able to plan your schedule literally in your like PowerPoint?
Right. And then it's like you're able to propel yourself so much further because you're working with your hormones instead of against them.
And you like feel great. Yeah. I just think that's so cool.
I love that. So ovulation is summer.
Yes. Ovulation is your summer. So the last phase of your cycle is after you ovulate, your body moves into the luteal phase. This is the phase where your body's basically waiting to see if the egg, a fertilized egg, is going to implant or not. Yep. So if it doesn't, then your luteal phase is going to be what happens right before your period. If it does, your body temperature will actually go up and you will become pregnant.
Yep.
But for most of us, most months, we're not getting pregnant. So this is when the egg is going to be released and your period is waiting to come. This is basically when most women, specifically the second half of their luteal phase, will start to feel not great. This is when you probably will gain a little bit of weight. Your body actually needs more food in this phase because your body temperature has gone up. And so your body can burn more calories. Mm-hmm. So women will experience more hunger. This is when PMS often comes. I actually, when I was very first getting into cycle syncing, was just tracking cycles. When I first was getting into cycle syncing, I was tracking symptoms. And I noticed for 4 months in a row, I logged a headache on day 25. And that was the first time that I was like, wow, like my body is really not a mystery. Like it is fully just a cycle.
Which I just want to touch on that really quickly, because I feel like if you're not before, you know, we were talking about when we first started, we didn't know anything about our cycles. Mm-hmm. And I feel like I've talked to a lot of women who are like, well, actually, I don't feel that. Like I don't get PMS before my cycle, and I don't experience more energy during ovulation. Like I think it's all a myth.
Right.
I've talked to people who feel it.
Yeah, yeah. It's
placebo. And I'm like, a lot of that has to do with the fact that you're just not tracking it. Like you're unaware of how you're feeling unless you actually take the time every single day to like tune into your body and like, how am I feeling?
Right. Or you're like over caffeinating and taking ibuprofen and like doing things that are like numbing the feelings that you might be having.
Totally.
Or like, even I used to feel like that. Like I kind of started getting into like cycling my fitness and my workout routines, because I was noticing I'd go to F45 a couple days before my period and I would just feel like crap, and I would leave
feeling, I'm like, I can't lift this like 10 pound dumbbell.
Yes, and it would be so hard because I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm so out of shape. Like I'm such a loser. Like I need to just do this more and more and more because obviously I'm out of shape. That's why I feel like this. Mm. Until I had the mental wherewithal to be like, you just because you can doesn't mean you should. And if it's 100%. Not making you feel good, then what's the point? And then I wouldn't want to go back because I would be like, last time I went, I felt embarrassed. I felt overweight. I felt everything bad. So it's even just like mentally to have that. Like, yeah, you can push through. You can do anything. You can do anything any week. It's not an excuse to be like mean. I hate that too. Like it's not an excuse to fight with your boyfriend.
Yep.
But I still think it's just good to know.
I still do that, but it's good to know, yeah.
Yeah. Another fun fact about the luteal phase is it's actually the only phase that will never change in length. So most women's luteal phase is like 11 to 13 days.
Yep.
Mine's 12 days. And my fun story about this is I use fertility awareness, like basically really in-depth cycle tracking, as birth control.
Yep.
And there was a summer, last summer, my husband and I had moved and I had just finished law school finals. Like there were a lot of things going on. My period was super late. Like I was on day 80 something in my cycle.
Pregnancy scare?
But so I knew that it wasn't a pregnancy scare.
That's so good.
Because I track my body temperature. And so I had known, and we're not getting into death temperature. Okay. Basically, I tracked my body temperature, so I knew it wasn't a pregnancy scare. And all these women in my life were like, Ava, you're pregnant. Like the jig is up. Your fertility awareness thing has failed. Like,
which so many people think, but we're going to get into this. But basically, guys, just like brief overview, your body temperature changes after you ovulate. So that's how you know.
Right. Yeah. So that's how you know that you've ovulated and you can't get pregnant. So I had been tracking my body temperature. It was day like 78. My body temperature had still not gone up. So everyone around me is like, you're pregnant, take a pregnancy test, you're obviously pregnant. And I'm like, no, I'm not pregnant. I know that because
I've never, of your cycle.
Yes, I had still never ovulated. So my body had just felt so, it was the move, law school finals, I was eating differently, I was a little stressed out. We were like in a big transition period. So I knew I hadn't ovulated. And then as soon as I ovulated, I think like day 80, my body temperature went up. So I knew that I'd ovulated before and my body temperature stayed up. Well, then I knew to bring a tampon 12 days later.
So smart.
Because I knew my period was going to start because my luteal phase always stays the same.
Okay. And I feel like, again, for most of us women who don't understand our bodies, which I had already been cycle syncing when like I had a longer period and I didn't even know that. So it's just like, it's so cool because I feel like for people who don't understand it, they're going to be like, what, how sorcery? Like, how did you know? Like, well, 12 days later. Like,
how many women are having fake pregnancy scares? Like, you're giving yourself a pregnancy scare, but you actually couldn't be pregnant because you haven't ovulated.
Because you never ovulated.
So that's why I just feel this crazy. It's just, it's amazing. It's literally my superpower.
Okay, I was today years old when I learned that the luteal phase can't change.
Yeah, like, it does. I mean, it'll change a day or two. And like, I actually had a really short luteal phase one time, like 8 days. And that can be a reason sometimes women struggle to get pregnant is it's often a sign of low progesterone. So that's something you can work on with diet and things. But for the most part, if you're like having a healthy, normal cycle. So literally I ovulate, it's like day 80, let's just say for a round number. And then I knew that on day 92, I was going to start bleeding. And I did.
First of all, that is, I feel like so many people listening to this are going to be like, wow, this like changed my
life.
That's
like our clip. That's our.
Yeah, that's our clip. But also like talking about just like, since we've done a brief overview of every phase of the cycle, I feel like what's really cool is understanding that like what's healthy for men is actually different than like what's healthy for women. And I don't know why, like, I don't know if it was the feminist movement. I don't know if it was like what it was that changed culturally and like socially, but the fact that for so long, like we've been being told to do things like cold plunging or running and lifting heavy every single day. Or I remember like growing up in like training or like competing against like my guy friends or my brother. And it's like, I would feel like some days I would feel so good. And some days I would feel like I'm so exactly what you were talking about with F45 of like, I feel so weak. I feel so blah, blah, blah. I have to now overtrain. And then I was like, bring myself into a hormonal cycle. And I didn't even understand that.
Mm-hmm.
And when I found out, like, honestly, girls, like the fact that actually what's like going on a walk every single day and like going to yoga or Pilates is actually so good for my fertility, so good for my hormones. And I don't actually have to, I don't have to run 10 miles every single day.
Right.
Like I don't have to lift heavy every single day to be quote unquote healthy.
You don't have to feel like you're like dying. That's the biggest mindset shift, especially as I mean, I played sports in high school. It's not even like I was a collegiate athlete, but I know women who like have played sports at a high level struggle with feeling like low impact movement is still really movement. Good for you.
Yeah.
But it's like, it kind of just depends on what we're valuing also.
Totally. And it's okay. Like if you have like goals and dreams to like,
yes,
I want to like
chase those. Yes.
I want to run a marathon. I want to like complete a like Ironman or whatever, like by all means, like chase them and be aware of like how can I most support my hormones while I'm doing this?
Exactly.
So that I'm like causing the least amount of damage possible, you know, but like at the same time, just like for the average girl, like, I just want to remind you, like, you don't have to feel bad that like you don't have dreams of becoming like the strongest bodybuilder like on planet Earth. Like you're just as much of like an athlete or just as much of like a healthy human being. If you're doing like, especially I think knowing what your goals are, and it's like, if my goal is to increase fertility, like my goals have changed over, like I used to have goals of like I wanted to run a half Ironman. I wanted to run a marathon. Like I did all those things, but now I'm like, my goals have changed. I'm like, I want to be the healthiest. Like I want, now my goals are, I don't want painful periods.
Yeah.
Now my goals are, I don't want hormonal acne. Now my goals are, I want mood stability. I want like healthy, happy.
I want energy all day long.
Energy all day long. Yeah. I don't want to crash. I like don't want to be debilitated during the time of my period or not getting a period, right? Like those are my goals now. And I've changed the way that I like work out. And it's like just as much of a, like it's something to celebrate as much as like those like things that we feel like are like big achievements, because it is a big achievement to like live in our world and like have a regular cycle and live in line with it
and have a healthy relationship with your body and with exercise.
Yeah.
Cause so the biggest thing also that cycle syncing has given me is consistency in working out, because I have clear expectations for myself. Like I know which days of my month I really like should push myself. Like I would like have a workout planned. I would get to the last two exercises and be like, oh, I'm tired. Yeah. And then I would know, no, that's just me being lazy. I'm going to push, like my body's fine versus day 27, knowing, no, that's not really me just being lazy. That's like my body where it's at right now. And I can respect that, honor that. And then I'm more consistent. I want to go back the next day. And that was the biggest thing for me, is feeling like it doesn't have to be the sweatiest, worst workout of your life for it to be worth it. And then I still want to go back tomorrow. And that's a huge thing for me. So also last thing about women, like doing running marathons, Ironmans, I've seen so many women use their cycle to strategically train for their marathons and their Ironman. And I think that's so cool. And there's no perfect way to do it. And obviously, like, that's different for everyone.
100%.
But I just think that's such a cool tool, too, to be like, okay, how can I load my workouts in a way that serves
works
my hormones?
With my body.
Yep.
Yeah. So amazing. Also, I keep interrupting you. I keep doing this like,
No, yeah. I know, me too.
Stop. I need to stop. Okay. So let's talk about birth. So we briefly touched on like fertility tracking and all this stuff, but the whole point of this podcast is like to talk about your experience with birth control and getting off of it. So tell me a little bit about that. Like, what was your experience with it? I feel like birth control, any woman who has gone to the gynecologist or like OBGYN or even their primary health doctor
or just stepped outside
has probably been given the pill. They're like, oh, like you're 13, you have acne. Here's the pill.
100%.
Like,
yes.
I feel like it's so common. Mm-hmm. Why did you decide to get off of it? Why did you get on it in the first place?
Yeah. I got on birth control in 2020. My husband and I are about to get married and I was looking into different birth control options and everyone around me was like, okay, yeah, it's either like the pill or an IUD. Like those were kind of the two options I felt like were given to me.
That's it.
Those are the only two for like a responsible woman. And I was 22. I was going to my first year of law school. And I was like, these are the only two options. Like any other option.
You're going to get pregnant.
Yes. Would be just like not responsible of me. Mm-hmm. And so the idea of getting something inserted sounded awful. Horrifying.
Dude, also the horror stories of IUDs.
Oh my gosh. It literally breaks my heart.
Yeah. If you guys, okay, go back to last season and listen to, it was one of the episodes with Dr. Jelena. But she talked about her horrible IUD experience and like just her problems with women's healthcare. And she's like, okay, you know, like when a guy goes in to get a vasectomy, mm-hmm. like they give him like painkillers and stuff like that. But when a woman goes in to get an IUD, which is like literally gives like the worst cramps, like horrible, horrible situations and like nothing. They're like, their pain is like, oh, it's normal.
Yeah.
Like just go home. And it turns out hers was like literally not inserted properly and it caused complications. And she, anyway. Crazy story, but keep going. So literally, IUD or birth control.
Yeah, those are the options. I took the pill because like everyone around me.
What is the pill? Just to explain to people, what does the pill do?
Yep. So the pill I was taking was the combo. And so actually, I don't know if it was combo. Okay. The pill I was taking, essentially what it does is it turns off your ovulation. So to not get pregnant, as we talked about before, you need to not have sperm meet an egg during ovulation. So how are the ways that you can do that? Well, the easiest way is to stop at the source. It's to just stop yourself from ovulating.
Which is basically, it's going to impact your progesterone. It's going to impact your estrogen.
Yes.
Which is so funny that the way they're going to deal with the hormonal imbalance that's causing acne is by, let's just shut off all your hormones altogether.
And let's put synthetic. So progestin is the synthetic version of progesterone. And so that's what they're giving. So it mimics it, but it's in a slightly different way that's going to turn off your ovulation. And that's why it turns off like a lot of different things, and women will experience different hormonal symptoms. Like your boobs might get bigger. This is like a funny little niche thing, but a lot of women who have cycles will get ovulation or menstrual little tiny hairs on your chin. It can be a sign of PCOS, but it can also just be like a natural hormonal flow. When I was on the pill, I stopped getting those.
Yeah.
Because my body wasn't having any natural hormones cycling.
I totally have like one or two that like come every single month and I'm like, oh, my beard's back.
Yes, everybody does. Yeah. But if you're on hormonal birth control, at least in my experience, when I was on hormonal birth control, it was turning that off. So I wasn't having any of that.
Okay, my friend was just sharing me photos of her on she got on birth control and everyone thought she got a boob job. Oh, it was like, it was kind of crazy. she was like, I guess you don't get that. If you don't,
pick your poison.
Pick your poison.
It's okay. Anyway, I got myself back and a lot of other good things. Yes, back, so it's fine. Exactly. But basically, so that's what I was on. I got on it like 3 months before we got married. And I would like to think that I'm a pretty stable person.
Yeah.
My husband and we were fiancés back then, but like we didn't fight that often. Like I was a great friend. Like I feel like I was pretty normal.
I was a good human being.
I think so. And I seriously, this sounds dramatic. I used to hear women.
I don't
think
so because I've heard people say it.
Yes. And I literally cried so much, like every day. And I don't even know why. Looking back, like it doesn't make rational sense. But when you're in it, you can't see out of it.
Well, remember that like our hormones are designed to help us buffer like experience emotions and buffer life. And like if your why are kids during puberty like so annoying?
Yeah.
Or like why are teens? Because their hormones are out of whack. Like
totally.
They're changing all the time. So it's like if you come in, you make major changes to your endocrine system, like – duh.
Of course, exactly.
But duh, you're going to feel
Yeah.
And then like, if you say that, like I had friends who were like, oh, and they meant great, but they were like, oh, you're just, you need to find the one that works for you. Like everybody has a pill that's best for them. You need to find the one that works for you, which is basically like, you need to find the combination of synthetic hormones to turn off your ovulation. That's going to make you the least crazy. And I'm like,
which did the doctor tell you like about these side effects?
No. So what's also crazy to me, and I understand from like a public policy standpoint, the idea of like, if we want to reduce the amount of like accidental pregnancies, we should just give everyone the pill.
But you should tell people.
I have serious problems with that. Yeah.
I do too, because I'm like, shouldn't you tell, if there are tons of side effects to this drug, which we didn't even like touch on all of them, but like if there are tons of side effects, which any drug that you give, any medication that you give, like there's going to be side effects.
Yeah.
Don't you feel like people have a right to know what they're putting in their bodies?
100%.
And make an educated decision. If you still decide to do it, good on you.
But it's informed consent. Exactly. And that's where I feel like, and there's a common argument of like, oh, well, you knew because they gave you that pamphlet. But then like just giving me that piece of paper. And then when I came back in, first of all, I didn't even meet with a doctor in person to get birth control. I like did like this online thing and it was very impersonal. I don't even know if we like video called. Maybe we did. But basically like it wasn't even like, it was easier than getting like
symptoms. Yeah.
It was easier than getting antibiotics for strep throat. I swear it was easier. And then I went back in. So I got it. I was crying a bunch. My husband was like, obviously this is not working. Like we will figure out something else. Like, is there anything else
we can try? Well, in God forbid you don't understand your hormones and you start to think that like the problem is the person or the problem is the relationship or the problem is your job or the problem is
your life. The number of women who experience more depression and higher rates of suicide on the pill is a huge thing that is not talked about enough. And it just breaks my heart thinking about how your hormones make up who you are. And why are we not supporting women who we know are going into this like hormonal battle zone?
Yep.
And then we're like, oh yeah, mood swings. I told my doctor, like, I don't feel like myself. I'm sleeping a lot. It was my first year of law school. So I'd been on the pill at this point now for 6 months. I switched prescriptions 3 times.
Dude, going through this through law school.
It was horrible. First year marriage, first year of law school. But that's the thing. That's what the doctor, I went in. It was like December and she was like, how's it going? And
She's like, it's because you're in law school.
Yes. She literally was, I was like, you know, honestly, it's not going great. I feel like I need to sleep 10 hours a night. I like completely lost my libido, which is the worst thing ever. You're like newly married.
Yep.
And I'm like, what's wrong with me? I'm literally Googling. Like, is it ever, am I going to feel better? Like, it was so sad. Oh my God. Looking back, I just like want to give myself a hug. It was so sad. Gained a bunch of weight.
Which is a very normal experience or a common experience for people. And again, if you don't know, you think something's wrong with you.
Exactly. Because the other thing I thought is
especially if the doctors are like, or just doctors, people, whoever, like if you're unfortunate and people are like kind of gaslighting your symptoms, like then you really think it's you because they're like, oh, that's normal.
Everyone's on it. That's the other thing she kind of told me was like, oh, like every girl's on this. So you'll find the one that works for you. When in fact, not every girl is on it.
Also, just super briefly, how many days can you get pregnant out of the month?
About 6.
And the fact that like the fact that you can only get pregnant like 6 days out of the month and you're going to take something like
every single day. No, I started like resenting, this is like so, but like I started resenting like being a woman and like my ability 100%. To get pregnant because I'm like, how come I have to feel like crap 28 days a month?
Yeah.
To do just for something that can only happen 6, but I didn't know it at the time. And that was what was scary is I felt like I could get pregnant any – I was just walking around this like ticking time bomb just
– Which to explain, guys, so really when you ovulate is the only time you can get pregnant, but the sperm can live inside of you for up to like – I think it's 7 days is like the longest that a sperm can live inside of you. Mm-hmm. So like actually unless the thing is – I don't know how to say this.
Basically,
like, you can only have it like the problem is that like the sperm live inside of you for like 7 days.
Right.
So it's really like that 7 day window is like the dangerous or not the danger. It's the time when you can get pregnant.
And the challenge is that you can't know you've ovulated
unless
you've already done it
pretty
much because your body temperature will only spike to confirm that it already happened.
Yes.
So that's
and tracking. I just wanted to point out that like some of these apps like the Flow app or whatever, like great. But like if you're just tracking the days and you're not actually confirming that with your body temperature, that's when people are like, well, my grandma did that and it didn't work.
I would have gotten pregnant, like back to my 90-day story. Because if I would have said, okay, day 14, by the way, most doctors will just assume that women ovulate on day 14. I ovulate on day 17.
Yep.
Pretty consistently. So if I guess that I ovulate 16, on day 14 and then on day 15, I'd say, oh, well, I already ovulated. Ovulation's behind me. So now I'm good. If I had sex on day 15, I would be pregnant.
Totally. Like, yep. Which is why we love this Or a sponsor.
Oh, shout out. Ring sponsor.
We're not sponsored. Yeah. Okay, so what the first this? Time.
What are you wearing?
Yeah. Gen 3.
This is my birthday.
In gold. I know.
Doesn't hurt my hormones.
When Natalia and I first met, we went to coffee and it was so funny. We like showed up. We both ordered the same matcha drink.
Yep.
We're both wearing like blue workout shirts. Yep. And the girl goes, oh my God, you guys are twins. We have like matching pink Stanleys. And then we both have Oura rings. And I'm like, yes.
I was like, you're my new best friend.
Yep. I can tell too when people have Oura rings. Like, I'm like, oh, maybe they want to talk about their cycles.
Maybe you have a story.
Yeah.
Yeah. But okay. So back to your first year of law school, you're back to the doctor. Yeah,
go back to the doctor. It's December. And I'm like,
wait, sorry. Just to finish this thought, because that was incomplete. What an Oura ring does is it tracks your basal body temperature. Sometimes I forget the word. I'm like,
technically Oura. So because I like work with Natural Cycles sometimes, and they made a pretty clear difference, which I never considered. So Natural Cycles with the thermometer is your basal body temperature. Aura tracks your average body temperature, which is interesting. So it takes your temperature all night when you're sleeping, averages it, and then you wake up and it's boom on your phone.
Okay.
Which is cool.
It is. It's super cool. And honestly, just for like the self-awareness portion, which I feel like for me, like cycle tea and then my Oura ring are kind of like, they're almost like my journaling, but like for my body.
Yeah.
Like, cause every day when you open your app or like you log your symptoms or you're drinking your cup of tea for like your cycle to like help support the phases, like it gives you a time to almost like reflect and be like, oh wait, how am I feeling today? In a way that like otherwise you could just like keep going and
like what can I plan for? Like what am I expecting out of myself today?
Yeah.
That's just, I know is going to happen.
What does my body need?
Yeah.
Anyway, so what this does though is it can tell you when you ovulate. So it is it tells you that 7-day window, and then through Natural Cycles, which is an app. And then I'm explaining this so poorly, but
No, you're really not. And then basically,
so it's your birth control. So you know, like if I need to be like not or abstain these days, and then I don't have to do it. And even if you're not like sexually active, like I think having like awareness of where your body's at is so good for you, because. Why is it good for you? It's good for you.
because it's like the same conversation we had before of like, if you ever plan to get pregnant or you just need to know like what is going on in your body. I mean, even if you're having a consistently 6-day luteal phase, something's wrong. Yeah. Even if you're having a period every month.
To understand your hormones.
Exactly. Yeah. Like you got
to
know.
And also like, to me, I'm like, especially anyone who's watching this podcast, like I'm assuming you're into wellness, but like wellness to me is it's preventative. It's not just like, oh, wait until I'm like super sick to deal with something. 100%. It's like, taking that time to pay attention to your body, understand what's happening with your body. Like, don't – like, I want to know. Like, I want to know how I'm doing and I want to take care of it.
Yep. Yeah. I think it's really cool.
Okay, anyway.
Sorry, we love it. It's true.
Yeah. Yeah, literally.
Braden said, whether you want to get pregnant or not.
Yeah, whether you want to get pregnant or not.
I'm just saying, you don't need to know your body just because –
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's true. No, it's
– Exactly. Okay, I know that is such a great point.
Yes.
You can say this.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, whether you want to get pregnant or not, it is so important to know your health and like limiting your reproductive health to just being about getting pregnant, which most women will only do like once or twice, three times in their life.
So understand your hormones regardless, because like that genuinely it'll impact your mood. Who wants acne, period pain, mood swings, instability? Like nobody wants that. Nobody wants that. So
anyways,
you're at the doctor.
I'm at the doctor. And I'm 22 and I'm not feeling great. And I am like sad and I'm trying to tell her. And I had a plan. I was going to tell her. I was excited. I was like, I haven't seen a doctor in a while. I'm going to tell her.
Today. I'm going to tell my doctor.
And she's going to like support me. And I don't even know why I was going in looking back. But basically I was like, yeah, like this is not working. I've gained weight. I'm sad. I lost my libido, all the things. And I really want to do this thing. A girlfriend that I know does it. It's called Natural Cycles.
Yep.
She takes your temperature and she like avoids unprotected sex on her fertile days. And like, it's worked for her for 6 months and I want to do it. And she looked at me and she was like, how old are you? And I was like, oh, I'm 22. She's like, okay, would you be okay with having a baby this year?
I'm in law school.
And I was like, I mean, like, yeah, like if that happened, obviously, yes, I'd be okay with it. Like I'm having sex and you know what I mean? Like that's, but no, that's not the goal. That's why I'm here. Yep. Obviously I do not want to have a baby this year. And she's like, okay, well then I can either schedule you for an IUD or we can try a different pill prescription. And I was wait, but like, what about what I was just telling you about? Like, I'm like, hello.
Like, at least hear me out.
Yes. And she's like, oh, well, are you really going to remember to take your temperature every morning? And then she's like, oh,
what
and
if
like,
I don't remember to take my pill every morning?
I was like, hello. And then she's like, also like, Oh, she's like, oh, also though, if you like get up in the middle of the night, like that would ruin your temperature. If you forget, like it's just so easy to mess that up. And looking back, so
I said, okay, I'll just refill my pill prescription, even though I knew I didn't want to, but I was so intimidated.
Well, yeah, you feel coerced almost.
100%.
Yeah.
I felt like she was talking to me like I was stupid. And so I was like, okay, yep, I'll just refill the pill prescription, Walgreens, whatever. I never went and picked it up. I went home. I told my husband, I'm like, we're doing this. I am throwing this in the trash.
Yep.
And I'm downloading this app. And if you like are uncomfortable with it, I'm like, really sorry. Like, I cannot do this. And yeah. I DM'd a girl that I barely knew who posted about it one time and was just like, hey, this is like so random, but like, I'm going to do this and I'm so scared.
Isn't it so crazy though? Like listening to your intuition at that moment is literally what built Cycle T.
It's mind blowing.
It, like Cycle T has helped so many women like get regular cycles, like get off the pill, like regulate their hormones. Like
it changed my life.
All of that happened yeah. because of that like one moment. And sometimes it's just like so crazy, like when you look back at life and you're like,
oh, I saw the DM that I sent that girl. Like I was just looking back, just like, cause it's been almost 3 years now. I was just so scared and I didn't know anything. And it's so funny now. Like I don't even remember that. Like I don't remember what it was like. And now I get to be that girl for other women, which yeah. is so fun. Like I've had like, I'll make TikToks about natural cycles and getting off the pill and preventing pregnancy.
And what's your handle?
Underscore Ava, A-E-V-A.
Love it.
On TikTok. I've kind of gotten off it a little bit. I just feel like I stopped. Honestly, it stopped.
You're a busy girl. She's a lawyer yes. and she's has a business.
Like, yeah, I've kind of turned my attention to Cycle T, but I still love talking about it. And I would get so many girls DMing me with all these questions. I actually started – this is – I had way more time. I would just call girls. Like I would be like, hey, like –
your
I have 20 minutes.
Cycle consultant.
Yes. So literally, that. People would call me and they would ask all the questions that you're like totally too scared to ask in a TikTok DM. They're like, "Can you do this?"
And I'm like, "How much they're probably paying their OBGYN or their specialist who's not even listening to them?" So
no, literally, and I would give them TMI. They'd be like, "This is TMI, but can we do this on this day?" And I'm like, "Yes, you can. No, you can't. Yeah. I'll tell you what I do." Like because I'm like, this cannot be a secret. Like no. women need to no have good. The education. So I downloaded Natural Cycles, and I think the biggest moment that I had there, that was a huge moment for me, that I really want all women to experience is the feeling of like for the first time the only person in control of my health journey is me.
Yeah,
like not the pill, not my doctor, nobody. If I have this goal of like not getting pregnant, which sounds funny, but like if that was my goal at the time, yep. nobody else is going to do that for me, and so I need to be responsible.
Yep.
Whereas before it was like, oh, this pill, this I'm like trusting this pill wholeheartedly, my doctor says it's good, it's good,
which they still chance, like there's still a possibility totally. To be on it. I feel like that's a story that so many people can relate to, and maybe people don't even know that they can relate to it yet because they haven't been on that other side of it, of like the freedom from not having to take it and not having to deal with all the side effects. And I've heard of so many women, so many of my friends, who like they'll get on it because they have really horrible cramps, mm-hmm. and after a while their cramps come back with the period pain, I mean with the pill, and now they have these horrible periods.
Yeah.
And now they're back to square one, but
they have less answers and they've done more
damage to their yeah. hormones. So,
and whatever you, cause even when I was, there was a time that I was on the pill for like 2 months when I was 16 for acne, and looking back then, as soon as I got off, my acne came right back.
Yeah.
So it's like, you're just band-aiding. Exactly. You're not actually getting to the root cause. So when I got off the pill, I started taking my temperature. I got this book. It was actually like 2 days later. This was such a like God thing. We went to a thrift store. And I saw this book called Taking Charge of Your Fertility. Mm-hmm. It's like a very common book in the space, but it was like $2.99 at Goodwill. And I'm like, sure, I'm going to buy it. And I sat and I would just read. And it was like so in-depth, but I learned so much about women's bodies and men's bodies. And it was almost like a textbook. It was crazy. But it was basically about how to avoid pregnancy. And it just – the information empowered me to not be scared. So that's what I always tell women too. Like if you're going to do natural cycles
– educate yourself.
Educate yourself. In the same way that I don't want to trust anybody else, as much as I do trust the app and I really – it has great efficacy. If you do it well, I really think that it can be everything you need. But why stop there?
Yeah. Like don't – you should take control – like don't leave your health in someone else's hands.
Exactly.
Don't leave your life in someone – yeah.
Yep.
Well, I also just want to hit on like for me, I remember I had started like learning about like natural cycles or the Flow app or like – I had started learning about my cycle. I had started learning about my hormones. I started learning about like cycle syncing. And I remember going to the gynecologist and I was so excited because I was like, I've learned so much on my own. I can't wait to learn from a specialist.
Yes,
like
yeah.
teach me more. Like tell me like, you know, like I want your help optimizing this because like I'm still confused. Like I'm on my journey. Like I want to make sure I'm doing things right. And I go and talk to her and she goes, you need to be on birth control or the IUD, exact same thing. And I was just like, actually, no, I don't want to. And I started talking to her about natural cycles. And I was like, hey, can you write me a prescription? Because if you get a prescription for natural cycles from your OBGYN, then like
your insurance
will cover it. And she wouldn't do it. She told me no. And she also, it was just such a wild, she didn't even know what it was. She didn't even understand. Like, and I was just like, what is, and they give you, I don't know if they did this to you, but they gave me, like, first of all, they didn't listen to anything about my story. Like, they didn't know anything like about my story, and just basically gave me a sheet of like 11 different birth control pills. Like 10 out of 11 of them were hormonal. And the one that wasn't hormonal said it had a really low effectiveness. So I was just like, it was just wild.
It was really wild. What is really hard, because for a while I was angry at this doctor. Like, I was like, she didn't care and blah, blah, blah. And then I was talking to somebody and they were like, in medical school, like, we were not taught anything else. So it's like,
it's not your fault.
It's not. Like, that's genuinely, system. I went in, I told her this is what I wanted. She was like, okay, you're this age. Like, everything she said to me, she was being honest. She wasn't even trying to be mean. She was just like, this is what you want. Here's what I have. Like, symptom. Medication.
Yep.
You know what I mean? Don't want to get pregnant? Medication. And so I look back, like, for a while I was angry and was just like, she didn't care and like all these things. But I'm like, they just like don't know. And there is a certain amount of responsibility that it takes to do what we do to like avoid getting pregnant, in the same way there is with taking the pill, in my opinion.
Or anything else that you do.
Yeah. But I also would talk to a doctor and she was like, we need to consult people as if everyone is the lowest common denominator, like as if you're talking to the least responsible person, which we know that's not us.
Yep.
And so it's hard to feel like we fit in that.
And we're not hating on medicine here, because there are so many, like, I know so many functional medicine doctors or nurse practitioners or people who, like, I feel like now there's a lot more of a movement that's like this blend of like traditional medicine and natural medicine in ways that takes lifestyle into account, and then when needed, like supplements with medication, which I'm all for. We're not hating on medicine. It's just like, this is our story. This is a lot of people's story.
Right.
And if you're going through it, you're not alone.
Yes.
So you got off the pill. What was that like?
Yep. So I got off the pill and I immediately did experience a lot of good things. I was fortunate. My period came back right away. I know for a lot of women, it can take some time, but my period came back pretty quickly, which was great. I stopped having the brain fog. My libido came back. Like, lots of wonderful things happened.
Awesome.
So I was very excited about that. But then quickly, I got post-pill acne so bad. Post-pill acne is kind of – it's basically just hormonal acne, but it's common among women when they first get off the pill because your body is missing those hormones that it used to have. And so that was really hard because I was feeling good on the inside now, but then.
Which is honestly the most important thing to me.
It was.
Obviously you want the outside to catch up. Yeah.
Exactly. Like, it was like worth it because I was feeling like myself, but looking back at like pictures from that time, like, I was in the dumps with my hormonal acne, like every month. And it was cyclical because now I knew my cycle. The week before my period, I would get a giant zit on my chin and my cheeks were covered and nothing I did was working. I was like getting expensive skincare and doing all these things and it was not working. So that was hard. Oh, and cramps. My cramps were horrendous. And I was like, this is still better than the pill, I think. But man, there's a week every month that I am popping ibuprofen. I
can't go to class.
Just like so horrible. So that was kind of like double-edged sword where it was like, okay, well, I'm free from this one thing. And I know I'm taking steps in the right direction, but I'm still not feeling good. Like, I did not look healthy. You know what I mean?
How did you deal with that? Like, what did you start doing to support your body?
Yeah. So after my whole experience with the pill, I feel like I became a little bit jaded of like traditional routes. And like I had said, I kind of took control. You're like,
I feel lied to.
I did. Yeah. I just was like, this,
I don't trust
you. If that wasn't true, then what else isn't true? And like, if I haven't gotten pregnant and you said I would, then like, what else could I, you know? So I, jaded.
You're dealing with, so at this point, you're dealing with the post-pill acne. You're dealing with all the stuff.
Yep. So then I just started looking into different remedies that didn't involve taking medicine. Like, I was like, I just stopped taking a pill every day. I don't want to have to take another pill for cramps and spironolactone for acne. Like, I want to find a natural way. For a while, I was like, I had this idea that I could like balance my hormones by like eating healthy foods and like, that's it. And like, by the way, I'm like, not making fun of that. That's true.
You need to eat well, but like, okay, also – we need a whole nother podcast on this. I'm like, I don't even know how to. Okay. So also when it comes to food, another side tangent, but like the way that our food is being grown, the things that like the animals are being fed, even for plants, like when you're, even if you're buying organic at like your typical grocery store, like the soil is stripped of a lot of like demineralized from a lot of minerals. And like, you can eat like a whole thing of like berries, but like have none of the nutrients that are supposed to be in it because of the way that it's treated with chemicals. So like, yes, food is medicine. And unfortunately, especially if we're in America where we have very low regulation on all of these things, supplement, there's, you like the typical person needs supplementation, like unless you're growing all your food in your garden
and
top tier, like you're killing your own cow, like doing your own stuff, like
which you could
but most of us aren't doing that,
right?
So like, yeah, anyway, back to what you're
yeah
saying.
So I but yeah, it just was extremely frustrating because I was like, oh, I'm seeing all these influencers. That was when kind of psychosyncing became more brought to the forefront. And so I had this idea that like, oh, if I was only doing low impact workouts on my period and I was eating, you know, more protein and, you know, like then all of a sudden my acne would go away. And that just wasn't the case. There was so much else going on. My body hadn't been able to detox from everything I had done. I had been on Accutane when I was younger. My liver was struggling. And so there were all these things that I needed to do to clear my acne and also just support having more regular cycles because my ovulation would jump around. So I started reading about like Chinese medicine. Yes. And I was like, this is so woo woo. Like, I'm not like this at all. Like, I was like, this is not me. I'm not crunchy. I'm not granola girl. I'm not essential oils gal. I am now, but I wasn't.
So, like, I've been
converted. That was my rabbit hole. And so I learned, the first herb I learned about was raspberry leaf tea. And I actually went to Target and I was looking at all the teas looking for raspberry leaf tea. And I see raspberry leaf tea and it says, on the very front, raspberry leaf tea, it's like the common brand you can find. Raspberry leaf tea can ease menstrual cramps. And I'm like, how did I never see this? Uh-huh. You know what I mean? Like, how come, again, I'm 23 years old. I've had my period since I was 13. I've never even seen this at the grocery store aisle. I don't know if like you had heard of it before you were looking.
I had heard of it like once I got into cycle syncing.
Right.
But like that wasn't.
Just like as a kid, like.
Nobody told me that.
I know.
Ever. Yeah. I had no idea.
And so I was like, okay, I'll just try it.
People used herbs for centuries.
For centuries. Like,
yeah, we'll get into it.
Yes. But. Like every culture ever has done it. And we don't for some reason. That sounds kind of sassy.
No, not at all. But like even, sorry, I feel like there's such a push to, especially in the wellness space or like the fitness industry, it's like everything's about macros. Mm-hmm. But like your micronutrients matter almost more than your macronutrients. Your micronutrients affect your gut health. They affect the way your body processes everything. So like just because you're hitting your macro goals with like synthetic protein, like and bars and like all this stuff, it's like
you could be missing very important, very important things. Yeah, that can improve your quality of life. And anyway, like
and herbs are like actually healing. Like before there were drugs, there were herbs. And a lot of drugs imitate herbs.
Yes.
So anyway, that's like a
It's groundbreaking. And I was like, how did I never see this? So I started drinking it. So I would wait for my period to come. Then I would make myself a cup of raspberry leaf tea, which I hated how it tasted at the time. I was like, this tastes like dirt. Now I love it. But I would have, well, ours are blends, so I feel like it's different.
This our blends taste
better than dirt.
Put some honey. Yeah. No, honestly, the taste of cycle tea is really good.
Yeah. And I feel like consider all that. Because I'm like, if you want to do it every day, you need to like how it tastes. Yep. You can't just, So I would do it first day of my period. I would start raspberry leaf tea. And then I was like, oh, I'm having acne. So first day of my luteal phase, So first day of my period, I would do raspberry leaf tea. So by day three, my cramps would be going away. But I was like, shoot, I really wish I could have like had this for day one when my cramps are starting. Same thing. Then I was like, oh, spearmint tea. Like I was getting these big cystic pimples on my chin. And I'm like, oh, spearmint tea is really good for acne.
It is, yeah.
And so I would wait until I got the zit and then I would start drinking the spearmint tea. And then I started to be like, I am not anticipating any of these things, even though they're all happening on a cycle. Cramps are happening on a cycle. Acne's happening on a cycle.
Like all these memes that are like every month when I have like my regular meltdown, my headache, like all of the stuff. And then I get my period the next day and I'm like shocked.
And I'm like, exactly. Yeah, and I was like, why am I surprised? You get the same zit every month. You get the same cramps every month. What are you doing? So then I started learning about more herbs and nettle leaf and chamomile and lemongrass and all these different herbs and finding out they had such a power for my ovulation cramps and promoting a regular ovulation and supporting my body. Nettle is amazing for after you have your period, you've lost a lot of iron. And how do you support, even though you feel good in your follicular phase, what can you be doing to fortify your body in that phase that you feel good to be preparing for ovulation and to be preparing for a good period. So I started buying. I'd go to Whole Foods. We lived in Arizona at the time. I'd go to the Scottsdale Whole Foods. I'd buy all these bags of tea. I'd cut them open.
I love Whole Foods.
I know. So expensive.
Yeah.
So good.
My bank account hates it. I love it.
So I'd go and I'd cut these all. And this is probably why my husband was concerned, because I'm spending all this money cutting open tea bags and dumping them together.
She's being like a scientist in the lab with like a goggles.
I literally was, with all these herbs. And my husband is like, what are you doing? And I'm like, I have these magic concoctions, like as if I'm the first person to make herbal tinctures, by the way, but I have these magic concoctions that I'm making and I'm drinking them on different days of my cycle. And he goes, can't you just buy this somewhere? Yeah. Like there's all these teas, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like relaxed tea, sleepy time tea, whatever. Can't you just buy this? And I'm like, no, no one's doing this in a way that supports the hormonal menstrual cycle.
Yeah.
And he's like, well, we should do it. And I was like, I was in law school. He was working in, like, we were not doing anything in the health and wellness space. We weren't business owners. And it seemed so intimidating. But he was like, this has genuinely changed your life. After a few months, it was crazy. I was not having cramps.
So cute. She wasn't crying every day.
I wasn't crying every day. No more ovulation pain. My acne was going down. I really focused on a combination of targeting acne that was, like, genetic. And that was like more on my cheeks. But then the chin acne was hormonal. And no amount of good skincare could keep that from coming up once a month. And so these herbs were doing that.
For people that don't know, just like brief overview. Like when you're getting acne that's like deep and cystic, or it's like really on like your lower like jawline or like your chin, like this entire area right here, usually it's related to hormones.
Yep. And it was like clockwork. Like I hated my luteal phase because I would get zits. Like I would try to avoid planning stuff because anyway, cycle syncing, but in a negative way. So we bought a tea.
Yeah, cycle syncing in the worst way.
Yeah, exactly. So we bought like a tea bagging machine and we got it all certified and we had a little workspace and we bought, you know, a bunch of the herbs and we would literally bag the teas. And we like had my sister, shout out my sister-in-law who made a new logo for us. And we, made these little boxes.
Okay, they are adorable, guys. Like
this is
look.
These
look
are the new guys. The old guys were cute, but not as cute as these. I love.
Look,
these.
And it even tells you like what phase of your cycle you're in.
Yep. So this is its final form. We started with individual tea boxes, which, as you know, though, the different phases are different days long, and so you would like run out of your follicular and your luteal phase. So I like dreamt up this box and I drew it. I have this really ugly drawing that I had made. This was like 6 months into the business.
You need to write a book and like sell it with your boxes.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Just what they need. More words from me.
Also, I can't explain how good it smells in here.
Like, oh my gosh. Is this all the herbs you walk into the warehouse?
Who knew that it would turn, like who knew that this, like you guys buying, like you going to Target and just like were Whole Foods and like getting all these different like teas and then like cutting them up and mixing them and then it would turn into this like beautiful warehouse and like this beautiful company. Like,
it's crazy. And it makes me so thankful for just like all the challenges that I went through, where I remember being like so jealous of the girls who just had clear skin or the girls who just liked the pill and it didn't bother them. Like I remember being so envious. And now I'm like, I'm so glad I went through all that.
Which, total side note, but if you're listening to this, this is your sign. Like sometimes, and I know this sounds so cheesy and cliche, but truly like everything that happens to us in life, whether you're a believer or not, like, I feel like this verse is like really good, but I love the verse that's like, every good things work, or everything works out for the good for those who love God or whatever, but like
called according to his purposes.
Yeah. It's, I don't know if like, okay, if you're not a believer, then like, I still think that is a great thing to like, remember, like when you're going through hard times, it's like, dude, like no matter what you're going through, like be grateful for like everything that happens to us in our lives, like shapes where we end up and like the problems that we experience. I honestly think that like they're given to us so that we can like move through them, like learn through them and then help other people go through them. And I think that adds like a huge layer of purpose in life. Cause
100%. Yeah, it's been so rewarding. Like we never would have thought that we would be like selling a product.
Like, do you know how many lives you've changed just because like if you had never gone on the pill, you'd never had your journey. Like,
exactly.
All these other people would still be struggling with it. So like, does it suck? Like 100%.
It did. Like, exactly. Yeah. But it's so worth it now. And that has been like the most rewarding. I like when I would post my TikToks, I like ran into a girl one time and she was like, you're Ava. I follow you on TikTok and you helped me get off the pill. And it was so, she had her Aura ring. She had her husband and she was like, tell her how it's helped me. And it was so sweet.
Tell her how amazing she is.
I know. It was really sweet. But I was like, oh my gosh, like I went through this really hard time and then now you're not. And then same thing with the teas, just like some of the reviews women have written where I'm like, wow, like I knew it worked for me and I knew it would work. Like on paper it works, in real life it works and all those things. But like hearing it actually happen, like people sticking to the same thing that I dreamt of that changed my life and then it's helping them. Best feeling ever.
I love it.
It's so cool.
I love it.
And I just love that it's like girly and pink. Like,
and it's just fun. Yeah. It's like, it's such a fun, like it's just such a fun business. It's such a fun ritual.
Yeah. Yes. And even it's that, I think the ritual aspect, because like cycle syncing, like we said, it's physical and it's mental. It's knowing where you are in your body and knowing where you are like mentally. And so having something that you do every day that's for you, tastes good. In order to make a tea, you need to like take time out of your day. It's like an extra thing. There's no caffeine. It's not a coffee. You're not just doing it. You're doing it because you planned something for yourself and you want to do something that's going to make you feel good. And I love that part of it too.
Yeah. Well, and let's just talk about this really quickly. In order for it to work, this isn't like a magic drug. You don't take one sip of your tea.
We moved away from drugs.
Everything's healed. Like that's not how it works. It's a consistent habit and it's like an entire lifestyle change.
Mm-hmm. And that's why we switched over to a subscription service actually.
Yeah, because you're not just going to drink it like 2 days and then be like, my cramps are gone. My hormones are healed. Like it takes consistent supplementation to your body to see the changes.
Exactly. And that's why also like often I think women will focus on like the luteal phase and the menstrual phase because those are typically the worst phases. But if you're not treating your body in a way that's preparing you for those next phases, you're going to suffer in them.
Which I feel like this is a really good habit for women in general because – or even for myself because I think so much in our society has turned like instant gratification. Yeah. Like you do this, you get this. You do this, you get this. And like we're not really good with like the turnaround time of like things take time. Mm-hmm. But the reality, like every good thing takes time. And like watching it pay off like over time I think is so rewarding. We're coming towards the end of the podcast, but like I feel like we could talk forever. Like, I know. We need to do like 7 episodes. One of the things that I just want to address is if you didn't know this already, period pain, even though it's normal, or hormonal acne, irregular cycles, like debilitating periods, like even though these are common, that's not actually normal.
Right.
Like you don't have to live that way.
Yeah.
So you don't have to just like accept like, oh, this is going to suck.
It doesn't have to be your life. And like for a while, I literally was like.
That's actually not how it has to be for women.
I literally was like, oh, I just have acne. Like some people just have acne and that's me. And I'm not trying to be like insensitive, by the way, because I still can like break out sometimes, same. But like not to the degree that I used to. And it's, there are so many things to do about it. And don't be discouraged.
No, don't be discouraged. Like it's possible. And also like talking about hating being a woman, like we talked about that earlier, but like it doesn't have to suck. Like, it doesn't have to suck for us. Like we don't have to always be like bloated and miserable and moody and like all the things.
No, yeah, you know, your ability like, to get pregnant. To like your ability to get pregnant
it's
is not
a beautiful thing. Yeah.
It's not like a curse. Like you don't need like a pill to fix it. Like you don't need to take it away. And that's what anyways, just leaning into like being all things girly and like feminine.
I love it.
It's just it's so empowering. It's so wonderful.
So yes, I completely agree. So we have some questions sent in from people.
Mm-hmm.
So the first one is, will you ever do loose leaf?
That is a great question. Before we started Cycle T, we were doing some research. The one unique thing to think about Cycle T versus some other like loose leaf tea brands is oftentimes if you're drinking loose leaf tea, it's because like you're a tea person.
Yep.
Like someone says coffee or tea, you say tea, you're like a tea person. I was not that.
No, I was like a hardcore like drinking like 4 cups of coffee a day, which was ruining my cycle. But yeah,
and I would have tea if I was sick or if I was like having a cozy girls' night like once a month.
Yep.
And so we were like, this is only going to work if it's a habit and we need to reach people who don't maybe identify as tea people. Yeah. And I know that sounds funny, but like I wouldn't have bought a loose leaf tea because I didn't have all the things for it. Like it wasn't it. And so in some ways we're introducing, and I'm not trying to stereotype all of our customers, but for the most part, it was a lot of girls who were like I was, who were looking for solutions, but were not drinking tea every day. So what is a way that's going to make this habit the easiest it can for you? And so that's really what we've been focusing on. That's what this box is for, the 28-day, every 28-day subscription, things that are going to help you get this habit into place and then help you continue it. Because if you're doing it for 1 month, you're not going to see all the results you'll see after 3 months, like after 6 months.
You'll probably like start to notice like little shifts.
Sure.
Like, honestly, even just like taking time to like savor a cup of tea. Like,
again, yeah, nothing bad can happen from that. Yeah.
Like, honestly, even just like the mindfulness that you get from that and like the presence, like, it's so good for you. Like, you'll feel a difference, but That is smoking. Is that my foot?
Oh, no, Natalia.
It's totally okay. Oh, these are like 10 bucks. That is so funny.
Guys, I literally burned a hole in my shoe.
What is... Oh, my God. How did you not feel it? I guess they're thick.
Oh, my God. I'm so sorry.
That is so wild. Well, the heater works. We're like in the middle of our podcast and my foot starts smoking. It's like, what's going on?
That is so funny.
Perfect. What benefits does the tea have if I am on birth control?
Okay. Yeah. We get this question a lot. And
I think the first thing that came to my mind is there is obviously I think what we talked about earlier is that what's important to us is that everyone has education of like understanding what's happening to your bodies and that right. there are alternatives and yes. that there actually is a way to heal a lot of like the symptoms that cause us to get on birth control in the first place, that a lot of times there is an alternative if you want it. But of course, we all have freedom. And right. if birth control is working for you and that's what you want to do, then like the tea might have a different effect, but herbs are always helpful. It's like,
exactly.
Yeah.
It's in the same way that you're going to eat a wide variety of foods to like nourish your body. Cycling herbs is like super beneficial way to get a variety of different minerals and nutrients from these teas. I do think it's important to point out if you're on hormonal birth control, the reason that it's working is because it's turned off your cycle. Yeah. So if you are trying to tea cycle around your ovulation, you're not ovulating. So that's kind of the reality. We do have a lot of women that I've spoken to recently, which makes me so excited, who started tea cycling a few months before they got off hormonal birth control mm. as a way to kind of prepare their body to get off. Yeah. And we've heard it's had really great – I wish I had done that. I wonder yeah. if my symptoms would have been less dramatic.
Totally.
But a lot of women who start like 2 or 3 months before they got off and before they get their IUD out or before they stop taking their pill, and they will start cycling the tea and then they'll just get into that rhythm. And then once they start their cycle again, maybe their period all jumped around. So they'll jump to where they need to be in their box.
Yeah.
But it's a really good way to assist in getting off hormonal birth control. If you're choosing to stay on it and you want to have the ritual, you want to cycle the different teas.
Will just never hurt you.
Exactly. There's nothing bad from it. But it's not going to help you ovulate because yep. you don't want to ovulate because you're on birth control.
Yep. I think that was perfect. I mean, I think this next question is super similar, but how do you recommend someone who uses a hormonal IUD sync their cycle for mind and body optimization during different phases of ovulation? Is it possible? So a hormonal IUD is going to prevent you from ovulating, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so that's, again, kind of the same thing. I still think, like, as we talked about seasons and, like, we're cyclical beings. And so
it's still great to have a ritual.
Yep. It's still good to have a ritual. It's still good to, like, give your body different, especially as a woman, like, naturally your body wants to be that way anyways. And on the IUD, sometimes women will still bleed, kind of depends on who you are. But if you're still experiencing that, that's still your body's winter.
Totally.
And so you can use this to really lean in. And like you said before, of, like, waking up, checking your app. It's like, it's almost like my advent calendar.
Yes.
Where like, yes. I will like wake up and see where I am. Like right now I'm like halfway through my box. And so it like lets me know where I am in my menstrual month.
Yep.
And so it kind of gives you that like check-in.
I have felt so much less crazy since I've started tracking my cycle because I'm like, I actually know, like if I notice that I'm like less resilient to like stress or people are irritating me or like, I just hate everyone for like a couple right. days. I'm like, you know yep. what? This actually isn't me. Like, it's okay. It's just my hormones. Yeah. Like they're just saying hi. They're doing their thing. Like it's like fall when like the leaves fall off the trees.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, it's just part of life. Mm-hmm. I feel like we have talked so much about our experience today, but I just want to read some reviews from people that, Cycle Tea has helped because
yeah.
Since like I've started like reading all of this stuff, I'm like, oh my gosh, like this is like a whole movement of women. And like, if you, wherever you're at in your journey, whether you're like starting out or like Cycle Tea syncing pro, like Cycle Tea is a great community for you to join.
Yeah.
I think just purely because like, you know, that everyone who is using this is like on the same journey of like prioritizing their health, their body, their mind, all of it. So, I want to read a review.
Yay.
One of your customers said, never turning back. She's like, I've been drinking these teas religiously for about 6 months now. I began noticing the difference after only 2 cycles, and I'm not being dramatic when I say my cycle went from 60 plus days long to only 35 days, and it continues to regulate every cycle since then. I'm obsessed with these teas and I'll drink them forever and ever. I think it's like so cute.
I love it. It seriously just makes me so happy. This girl actually is one of our top customers. I know her kind of personally, and she sent me the sweetest video. She was getting married the next day, and she brought her cycle tea with her.
Yeah.
And she was drinking cycle tea the night before her wedding in her bridal pajamas.
I feel so good.
And I was like, yes, somebody else is just like me, like so obsessed with just not breaking this habit. And then you're in it and you'll never quit.
I love it.
It's so sweet.
I absolutely love that. Yeah, no, her wedding is like so cute. And then you realize like, wow, like this has actually had a huge impact for people.
I know.
So if people want to follow and maybe people want to try this.
Yeah.
What do they do? Where do they find this beautiful, beautiful box?
Yes. So you can shop The Perfect Month, which is our subscription, or individual tea boxes. But I highly recommend The Perfect Month if you're looking to start doing the tea cycling experience.
Yep.
But you can shop online, cycleteaco.com. We're also on Instagram and TikTok, cycleteaco. And for your listeners, we'd love to do a discount. You can do NAT10 for 10% off. That's NAT10. You can get 10% off,
yeah.
And that'll apply every month that you subscribe. So it'll keep the 10% off every month.
Well, guys, the perfect month. I don't know what I'm saying. Guys, we've been talking for so long. I'm like,
we
need good yappers.
Yeah,
like
we are professional yappers.
Definitely check out Cycle Tea Co. I promise you that no matter where you're at in your cycle, like you're not going to regret it. Also, the boxes are just so cute. The fact that it's like, if this wasn't so cute, I think I would have had a hard time and it didn't taste so good. I feel like people are going to have questions about the taste. I just want to say like, I was not a tea person. I love it. Like I'm obsessed
at
this point. So,
and once you get into it and you get obsessed with the results, you will just love it and drink it. And just even loving drinking something different every week. Like,
yep.
So fun.
Well, thank you for having me.
Yeah, thanks for coming on. And I'm sure we're going to do this again. So,
yes.
Yeah.
Bye, guys. Bye.
Thank you guys so much for watching this conversation with Ava. I hope you learned something from it and were inspired. Thank you so much for being a part of the Wealth and Wellness Studio family. And I just want to remind you that this is a space for you to learn and grow and be inspired and build the lives that you dream of. So if you have any comments or you want to continue the conversation from this podcast, DM me at Wealth and Wellness Studio on Instagram. And I look forward to hearing your thoughts and how you're building your dream life this week.